Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Good morning. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado. And this morning, filling in for Tiffany Bacon, is my good friend, Samuel Dowling.
Good morning.
All right. Well, welcome. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we're going to give you this number. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. So, in the meantime, give us a call at 855-454-5905. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father and God, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you for this opportunity that we have to bless so many through the airwaves, God. I do pray for each and every relationship, every marriage, every engaged couple, and even those who are single and are seeking love, God. I do pray that they will have your guidance and your spirit, Father, to really give them the wisdom and discernment they need. Father, give me and Sam the words that we need that come from you to be able to encourage and inspire those who call, Father. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, we hope, as always, that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship with God and with your spouse. So we absolutely want to do that. And again, we give you the number to call us this morning. It's whatever topic is on your heart. We want to talk to you. So you have a question about your marriage, your relationship, something that perhaps you don't feel like you can ask at church, or, you know, your parents, or who do you want to ask? You can go ahead and give us a call this morning, 855-454-5905, and get in on the conversation. We also invite you, if you're a little shy about calling, to go ahead and visit us at our favorite social network, Facebook.com. You can go to Facebook.com/Beyond the Vows, and you can type in your question or comment and get in on the conversation, especially during the show. We encourage you to go ahead and do that. I want to come up and share with you Romans chapter 7. It's the scripture and our theme scripture of the day. And it says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but do not have love. I'm sorry, it's 1 Corinthians 13. What am I saying? 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I am nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. And by the way, this is the Message translation of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love does not want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't reveal when others grovel, and takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trust God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Don't you love that? I love that passage, but I'm so grateful for the Message translation, how it breaks it down. I especially love the part where it says, it's not about me first. Again, we invite you to go ahead and give us a call. Our phone lines are open. You can call us at 855-454-5905. And get in on the conversation. Sam, we're going to have some folks call this morning. I know last night we had an event here in the Philadelphia area, and we had some great questions. I invited some of those folks to call. I'm sure they will. We'll share a little bit more about that event in just a moment. But I do want to encourage you, go ahead and pick up the phone and give us a call, 855-454-5905. So what do you think, Sam? Good morning.
Good morning. It is great to be here. I think we're talking about last night or just in general?
In general. I mean, I think we had a great time last night. And again, we will share. We're waiting for some of those folks to go ahead and give us a call. And we'll share a little bit more of the great time we had here in the city of Philadelphia, fellowshipping with some folks.
I think it was phenomenal. It was a great group of people, and being welcomed and warmed and feeling loved. And I really felt like it was authentic. It was questions that I never really thought that you know, we could address at all at the same time or in that time frame. There were questions or had interest about internet dating, and there were type of questions that really had you make you think for a while. And I think that you need to do something. And I think this open forum situation is going to be a lot of hopefully great callers coming in for those type of questions.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we could even start off with the online dating one. You know, so we had a young lady ask, hey, is it what do you think about that? Is that OK? You know, and I know more and more people are going to the internet to meet people. I mean, it's just even social networking, right? People are just meeting others online. And I think, Sam, you with your law enforcement background, you had some real interesting things to say and some warnings like, hey, listen, you really got to be aware. I don't think neither you or myself or anyone else would say that it's a bad thing, or you can find in the scriptures where it says you shouldn't, you know, meet someone online. But there were definitely some warning signs and some things that, you know, in your career you've been able to see.
Right.
And so maybe you can share that with some of our listeners here so they can beware and be cautious online dating.
Right. I think one of the biggest thing is that making sure that if you're going to venture in that area of online dating is taking it extra slow. Slow is fast. Fast is slow. And what you want to look at it, and I guess it's kind of reversed, is making sure that you take that that scenario. You don't know this person, and they're going to tell you anything, of course, that you like. For example, like I use the analogy, what's your favorite jazz singer? And you say Nina Simone, they're going to, oh, mine's too. And so they'll continue probing you and making sure that they're grooming you. And anything you like, and most people that come online, they're trying to trust. They think that they're great. They're experts at trying to pick out people. But the caution that I give to everyone is that as time goes on, a person's going to research you offline. While you're online, they're asking information, they're kind of getting little questions, they know how to get that from you. And then they're going to start probing and looking at your Facebook, trying to get in, trying to see where your family, trying to do a lot of stalking, I call online. And then they're going to, at some point, you know, there's that meet and greet. And I think you gave some great advice last night, as far as try to stay in your area. And
stay local.
Stay local. If you can stay local in this way, if the person said they go to church, then find out their church, and you can always ask someone. I think it was that website. What was the website you were talking about? As far as the minister has to give his approval.
Oh, actually, there are a few that are like that. So if you are going to a Christian, and I don't know, I can't say that every Christian website, and I don't want to give out any specific website so that we're not necessarily endorsing, or you know, we don't want to give our stamp of approval or disapprove of a specific website, but there are some. That are Christian websites for dating, and what they do is they verify. They'll say, okay, what church home do you belong to? And then they want to get some kind of reference about you from the pastor, the lead pastor in that church. And I'm saying myself as a lead pastor as well in Delaware, I get requests, and it's like, is so-and-so a member of your church? And if they are they a member in good standing? And would you recommend them for online dating? And I'll be honest, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, yeah, this person is a member, but I don't know enough about them to recommend them or not. Or, you know what, I don't know, they probably be great for online dating. But then I go back and I say, hey, listen, I got this request. You know, how are you doing? What's going on? So it opens a lot of doors. It's great. But at least there's some background there instead of, you know, and I think I specifically get concerned for women that meet men and they're like, oh yeah, I'm great. I'm in the leadership group in this church. And then it's not necessarily true. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We do want to invite you to give us a call. We're going to take a brief break, so we don't want you to go anywhere. The number to reach us, 855-454-5905. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
in marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Good morning. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, and my co-pilot this morning is Mr. Samuel Dowling. How you doing, Brother Dowling?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Just before the break, and if you're just tuning in, this is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we invite you to go ahead and give us a call at 855-454-5905. Get in on the conversation. And the topic this morning is whatever topic you want, whatever question you have on your heart, we're willing to answer it. We bring you a biblical perspective. Right before the break, we were talking about internet and online dating. And, you know, is that okay? And should a Christian try to meet somebody online? You know, what's the deal with that? And so long story short, I think that, you know, Sam, with his law enforcement background, he's even been parts of task forces that have specifically looked at cyber crimes. And so he really has a different perspective. And he just says, listen, not saying don't do it, just be careful and beware. So, Sam, I believe you have some warnings here that you want to share with our listeners.
Right. It was just a basic quick to be aware of anyone online. If you're going to start dating or venturing in that area, is quickly asked to talk or chat on outside email or message service. Anyone that does that immediately as you meet them, I would throw a red flag.
Oh, you mean someone that wants to leave that
immediate area, right, and say, hey, can we chat online or can you give me your instant message information?
And why is that so bad?
Well, because then they're pulling you away from that and trying to get you isolated.
Okay.
It's the same thing as being in a public area and you're
hey,
open space.
Come with me. Come with me to this little alley, but back alley.
Room.
All right. Okay, I got
so,
you.
Then you're looking at anyone that asks you for money off the bat. Someone that says, hey, all your personal information, you should keep that guarded and protected. That is anything from, you know, you want someone to say, hey, Marcos, could you give me your address so I can send you flowers? I think you're a great person. You want to keep that protected.
Nah, that's okay. I don't need flowers, bro.
Right.
I know what you mean, but someone that's like, hey, you know, I want your that, or guess what? Let me get your date of birth.
Right.
You know, personal information, especially very quickly, right? You don't even know this person.
Right. And nowadays, people are getting more savvy, and they can obviously start picking apart and getting personal information. And also, as they're building that up over time, they're able to figure out your passwords as well. Because normally the basic stuff people ask on passwords, what's your mom's maiden name, what's your birthday, and things like that, they're also pulling information as well. Mm. And you got to be careful. So not just simply of an identity situation, but as well, they're looking at just probing and being a predator. And you always got to look at it this way. There's a lot of predators, and you're always going to be the victim, but you can change that by not being a victim. Or, you know, sending emails containing strange links to third-party websites or people that disappear all of a sudden online and come back with a different name and try to re-friend you. And you're like, well, that's a different name. Who's this? You know, you got to be wary of people like that.
And you know what? I think especially God's people, Christians, we tend to be very trusting a lot of times. We're like, oh, no, especially if someone else is a Christian. Oh, like, it's a brother in the church, and he says he's, you know, he helps with the youth. He's an amazing guy. And how do you know that? How do you know this person is not lying and they're just saying that? So I think what you're saying is true. You got to beware of certain questions and certain red flags, I would say.
Right. I think it, once again, take it real slow. And there's no rush. There's no rush. If you're really putting it in God's hands, you don't rush God. We try to rush God, but you can't rush God.
And one other thing I would add, I would say, listen, people get emotionally involved and they can portray themselves however they want. So someone that can actually be married, they won't disclose that. You think, oh, they say they're single, and they're not. You know, they're just trying to find you. Or someone, and then this one's actually been quite often. I've talked to quite a few women that have met men who say they're Christians, but then when they go and they meet them and they go on a date, they're trying to sleep with them.
Right.
And it's like, hold on. It's like, I thought you were, why are you, this is not a worldly website. This is, you know, I met you. We're Christians. It's a Christian dating website. So I think everyone, you got to be careful. What I tell people all the time is, you know, the internet is just like the world, except that you can mask it a lot better. So if you meet some like creepy guy out there, you might be really, you know, you're quick to run. But online, that same creepy guy might not come across like a creep. So I think you just really want to be careful. The Bible says, you know, to pray and ask for wisdom, that God would always give it to you without finding fault. So I would say, listen, pray for a lot of wisdom. And you should not have to hide that from someone. I mean, a lot of people have met online and more people are meeting that way. But we just actually want to encourage you to be wise and to ask God for wisdom. So we're going to go ahead and go to our first caller of the day. This is Sister Brooks calling in from the Philly area. And she actually has a comment about online dating for Christians. Good morning, Sister Brooks.
Yes, good morning. And may God be with you. I hear a lot about the dating online.
Okay.
But the thing in my mind is this is something that people shouldn't even want to do. I mean, we're Christians, and we believe in a powerful God and a mighty God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against anything, because who am I to say that it's not good? And I'm very, very happy that I got a chance to speak with you, because I was praying. I said, oh, God, because I didn't have the number. I said, oh, God, please, this morning, mm-hmm. just let me speak to someone. And I'm very blessed.
Amen.
I'm gifted and blessed to speak to you.
So,
the Philippians Baptist Church at Broad and Grange.
Okay.
And my name is Sister Brooks. And it's such a pleasure to speak with someone, because I feel the Spirit right now.
Thank you.
I feel the Spirit.
Amen.
And may God bless you. And can you please keep and hold us up in prayer at Philippians Baptist Church?
Thank you so much, Sister Brooks. We really do appreciate you picking up the phone. You have a blessed day. Thank you for sharing your heart with us this morning.
Yes, thank you. And you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
God bless.
God bless you as well.
Thank you.
You know, the number to reach us, 855-454-5905. We just happen to be talking about online dating. That is not necessarily the topic. So if you have any other question about your marriage or relationship, feel free to call us, 855-454-5905. But while we are on the topic of online dating, and Sister Brooks just called and she said, listen, you know, we're Christians. We shouldn't have to get involved with that. But then I hear I'm not to judge. Look, let me tell you, some of us could be a little old fashioned. What I'm saying is that there is no scripture that we can use to say thou shalt not date online. You know, it doesn't exist. So like anything else, I mean, even dating is not a concept that you find in the scriptures. But what we need to do is we need to apply biblical principles to every area. So does that mean that you, because it's online, that you can have inappropriate conversation and text? No, the Bible still talks about purity and that standard. You know, should you still be careful whether you meet a person and meet someone online or in person? You still have to pray for God's wisdom and guidance. And so a lot of those things apply. What we're also adding is if you are going to venture that way, and again, a lot more people today, it's more common for couples to connect and meet online. And in some cases, things have worked out great. All we're saying is if that's the route you're going to go, be careful, ask God for more wisdom and get a lot more input, especially because you can easily get emotionally attached to someone that you truly don't know yet, because someone can portray themselves very differently on the internet than they are in person. So what Sam said is very safe and fair. It's like, listen, give it time, slow it down. You got to get to know this person, especially if you're talking about marriage. You know, I've recently know of a situation that someone doesn't really know the person, but they're already engaged to them and they met them online and they've had long conversations on the phone. They've chatted, you know, through the camera phone. You know, they've had conversations, but they don't know this person. And so, again, beware, be careful, be slow. But again, there is no sin in dating online.
I say get fingerprints, get DNA.
DNA.
Do everything you have to do just to make sure to safeguard yourself. And at the same time, I mean, what happened to the good old Christian cafe around the corner where you kind of go in?
Christian cafe. I don't even know. Do they have any Christian cafes in the area? I mean, I think singles in general tend to look for where can I meet a good Christian man, a good Christian woman. And unfortunately, you know, there is no quick and easy answer. You know,
well, I call it the microwave generation. Everybody wants things now. As technology, the more advanced we get in technology, I think that individuals just want things now. And when you're cooking, a good cook takes time to have that sauce and that stew simmer for a while to get all the flavors in. And I think that we are just so fast and want things to happen immediately, which causes a lot of problem. We don't take that time.
And you know, that goes with 1 Corinthians 13, our theme scripture. It simply says, love is patient. Love is kind. And I think that patience, you know, you have to realize that it's a lifelong commitment. Perhaps the saddest part of what I get to do and being here every week and having many, many people call is those that feel like, wow, I should have listened to the Holy Spirit. I should have listened to those who love me. I should have paid attention to the red flags, and I went ahead and got married quickly because of whatever reason, emotional, lust, whatever. And then now you're married to this person and you're like, I really didn't know them. And now we got to make it work. And here's the reality. You know, two people who love God can make it work. The challenge is if you end up with someone that claim to be a Christian and they're not, and you're unequally yoked, I mean, that's just a very different challenge. And so we absolutely encourage you. But we want to hear from you. We want you to give us a call. Let's have the conversation about anything you want. You know, sex in the marriage, you know, or sexless marriage, you know, online dating, or, you know, if you're divorced and you're trying to figure out how to go back into the dating scene, how soon should you go? You know, how do you know that God has someone for you? Perhaps your question is, you know, how do we get past this hurt and the infidelity or something that's happened in your relationship? Again, any question you have, anything you want to ask, feel free to call us this morning. And I know in just a moment, the lights, as usual, the phone lights will be well lit. Right now, we don't have anyone on the call. So please go ahead and give us a call. This is your opportunity, 855-454-5905. We also invite you to visit us on facebook.com/beyondthevows and get in on the conversation. And last but not least, we invite you to follow us at praisephilly.com. This is our website. You can go there. You can read the different articles. You can look for me, Marcos Mercado, the host of your show here, and we can have more conversation even off the air. But again, we invite you, 855-454-5905. Now, Sam, I just want to take a moment and talk a little bit about this event that we were able to be a part of yesterday. It was Voice of Praise Worldwide Ministries. That was super encouraging to spend time with those folks. I mean, I felt like definitely a good family time. And we did a workshop. We talked about marriage and relationships. So many. I know some will be calling a little later today. But we just had a great time fellowshipping with them and the open conversations and the questions that they asked. One of them was on online dating.
Right.
But there was a ton of others. And I know we got a call coming through here. I think a couple of calls. And we want to invite you. Let's have the conversation. But what do you think, Sam, when people just have so many questions and they're wondering, you know, what does God want for my life? You know, should I remain single? Should I get married? These kind of questions.
Well, kind of going back to that event, I kind of got sidetracked because I was more involved with the food.
They had good food and you were gone. I was like, where's Sam? And you were at the food table.
So I think that with all the questions that many people have, it's a shame that sometimes you don't have that time to be able to address it, because a lot of people are hurting. What I noticed is sometimes there's a need for even our senior citizens that are either passing a widow, or they are divorced, and they're looking still. They're active. They're strong in a community. They're strong in a church, and they're looking at how do I find and how do I connect with someone and make sure it's right. I don't want to go down that road. I'm experienced. I think one of the great questions one person asked was that, when do I know it's right to get married? What time? And you asked, and you said, well, it's whenever you think.
Yeah, they were like, when's the right time? And how do I even know if that's what God wants for me? But then this was really honest. She's like, I don't even know if I necessarily want that. I don't know what I want. And so my encouragement to this person was just, listen, just have friendships. Build the friendship. Like, you would know when you get there, if you meet the right man, and it doesn't matter how old you are, you meet the right man, you can be able to, you know, have a great, great relationship. And one of the questions that came up was on online dating. And we're going to continue on with this topic because we have Gina calling in from New Jersey, and she actually met her husband online. So we want to hear from Gina. Gina, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi. Good morning. Gina. How are you?
Good. So now you have the other perspective, right? So you met your husband online.
Well, yes. My partner and I, we met online. It wasn't me looking for anyone online, and it wasn't him looking for anyone online. We just crossed each other's paths. But I know that where my mother's situation was, she met someone online in Africa, and that didn't work out too well for her because she fell in love with the person. They met up, and he turned to be someone he wasn't. Mm. He claimed to love God and everything was false. But what I'm saying is not every situation is the same. And even if you're put in a bad situation, I believe that it could be a lesson in life. And God is telling you, you learned your lesson. So the next man or the next woman that is for you, you give them better than what you was trying to give a man or a woman that really didn't exist.
Okay, well let's pause for a minute. So your mother met someone online and it didn't work out. And then that didn't stop you from going online and meeting someone.
Well, it was more like Facebook.
Okay.
But everyone treats Facebook like a dating site, and that's not what I was using it as. So, but yeah, I crossed him on Facebook.
But did you know him, or did he know your mutual friends?
No, we never met in person or anything. We talked for a while.
I'm curious, Gina, how did you meet him on Facebook? How did you become Facebook friends? Because usually your friend is a friend of a friend or something.
I do a lot of poetry.
Okay.
And someone told him about me, and then he inboxed me, and we were talking about poetry and all of that.
But he heard about you from someone else and then looked you up. Now, so Gina, are you married to this man?
We're fiancés. We're not married yet.
Okay, so you're engaged, but you met him, and how long have you known him now?
3 years now.
3 years. But you got to know him on Facebook first, but then how long after you met him on Facebook did you actually meet him in person?
I would say about 6 months.
Okay, so a few months later, and how was that for you? What was the difference between the man you met on Facebook and then when you actually met him in person?
It was the exact same person.
Mm, okay.
Can I ask you a question? What kind of, if you did, any type of, I call it security checks, anything that you do, how did you make that first little contact, that first initial, we're going to meet in public, who said it first?
Like, who asked who to meet in person first?
Yes.
He asked me to meet in person first.
Okay, and where was that?
We met in Philadelphia. We didn't, go out for drinks or anything, because he's not a drinker or a smoker.
Okay.
So we just met in Philly and just talked for a long time, and he didn't go home with me. I didn't go home with him, because that's just not how it was raised.
Well, Gina, you know what? One of the things that I have mentioned, and for those who are listening and are interested in that, I think number one, you sounds like you've taken your time. You didn't rush, right? And then the second thing, you also met him, and he was local. And I think the difference what you shared even with your mom is she met someone that was far away. I mean, one of the things, if you are going to meet someone online and then there's an interest, I would say meet them in person in a public place as soon as possible so you can get to know them and not just someone that you're just having these long conversations online. So, Gina, we thank you. I think it's a great conversation. I wish you and your fiance the best.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Thank you, Gina.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, and with me today as a co-host is Samuel Dowling, and we're just having conversation. One of the conversations and the topics that have come up is online dating. So we want to invite you. It's not just a conversation of online dating. You can ask whatever you want. We're going to actually go to line three when we have Andre, who's actually been talking about the fact that he is ready for marriage, even right after divorce. So let's talk to Andre. Good morning, Andre. You're live on the air.
Good morning. First of all, praise due to God. I am going through a divorce now.
Oh, you're going through a divorce. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, what you had spoke to something that was very close to me a couple of seconds ago when you were saying about, getting married and not being ready, or the circumstances of why you got married. And I got married when there were a lot of things going on in my life. My mother had passed away, and there were just a lot of things going on in my life. And that person who I was with, my fiance, we planned on getting married, so it seemed like that was the next logical step.
I got you.
And once we got married, I started to see that, not that I didn't love her as a person or anything like that. It was more, I understood why it happened. You know, there were a lot of red flags and things before we got married that we should have actually looked at and you know, delved deeper into, but we didn't. But I came to her and explained to her exactly what I was feeling.
Okay, well, quick question for you, Andre. From a biblical perspective, what is the reason for your divorce?
You know, I truly believe it never should have happened. Biblically, I can't put my hand on what exactly to say, but it was one of those times where the signs were there not to do it, but we did it anyway.
I know, but didn't you make a vow? Did you make a pledge and marry? You said, you know, usually the typical vow is, you know, I promise to love and cherish you in sickness and in health, richer for poorer, you know, and basically you're saying this for until death. And so now you kind of taking a step back and you're like, well, I wasn't at a good place in life. I was going through a lot in my own life. I made this bad decision. But what about the vow that you made? Even though no one twisted your arm, right? She didn't point a gun to your head and say, you better marry me.
No.
So you made this decision deliberately, and you're an adult, correct?
Yes.
So what do you think about how God views this? Like, this is a vow that you made, even if it was a mistake, but it's a mistake you got into, right? You both decided. So what I'm saying, Andre, and something I want to share with you, is that the Bible, you know, and you're talking about even in the scriptural sense, that in the Bible, people got married, and most of those marriages were arranged. So people didn't even have a say. So they could say, like, hey, I didn't want to marry this person, but my parents made us do this, and now we got to make it work. And so my question more than anything is, in the eyes of God, even though you felt like maybe this wasn't the person you should have been with, you made that decision, how do you know God is okay with you getting divorced at this point?
The reason I made that decision was out of the fact that I had prayed and thought and prayed and prayed and prayed what to do.
Okay.
I didn't feel, and as I was explaining to my ex, that it wasn't the right decision to make. And I know we made vows, but I felt in my heart that if I kept going, it wasn't going to turn out right. And that's what I tried to explain to her. Was the same thing. Now, she made mention of the fact earlier in before we got married that, you know, there were some reasons why she was getting married. And it, to me, you know, like I said, there were red flags, and I heard her, but I didn't listen.
No, and I hear that, Andre. And look, I wish we had more time to even talk more about this, but my question is this, and I just want to share this passage with you. Matthew 19, verse 9 says, I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. So you divorce your wife, you meet someone else, and now you feel like, all right, that's the person I should marry. According to the Bible, if it's not for the mere fact that if your wife was unfaithful to you, but if she wasn't, and you divorce her and you marry someone else, according to Matthew 19, verse 9, you will be committing adultery. Because in the eyes of God, she's still your wife.
Right.
So I just want you, Andre, and in this case, you know, we'll hang up the phone. I don't even know you. You don't really know me, right? So you can do whatever you want to do, but I want to advise you and encourage you to make sure that you really seek out God and his guidance in the scriptures so that you do not sin against him and do something even worse. So you already made a mistake. Now you would make it even worse, and you end up in another relationship, and now you're like, I'm in an adulterous marriage. You know, you don't want that. So I just want to encourage you. Seek out God's wisdom and guidance, because maybe, how do you know God doesn't want something so wrong that shouldn't have happened to become an amazing testimony and a victory that you and your wife actually learn from this and end up pleasing God through all this? So it's just for something for you, Andre, to think and pray about before you sign in the dotted line and actually get divorced.
And I suggest seek counsel as well.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. I mean, I'm seeking counsel now, you know, and you know, in prayer and in trying to understand what I need to do and what is going on. So I am seeking counsel. I mean, always.
Okay, well, good.
Amen.
I just want to make sure, man, this is something to be taken very seriously. So, but again, Andre, we thank you for your call this morning. Thank you for listening and for picking up the phone and calling us.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. No God problem. Bless you.
God bless you, Andre. Thank you. All right, well, let's continue on here with our conversation. We're going to go to line two, where Tracy is calling from the Philadelphia area. Good morning, Tracy. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. I'm here with a good friend, Sam Dowling, who's helping me out. Tiffany Bacon is off today, and we're having some great conversation about anything you want to talk about. And I believe you mentioned to our producer, Larry, that you wanted to know the kind of the dynamics of a relationship. Like, I believe the question was, how much do you bend in a relationship? You can clarify and ask your question, please.
Right, absolutely. I guess the situation is, I've always grown up a Christian, known the Lord all my life. But, you know, you get to the point in life where you just truly get on the path. You know, in the beginning, you're kind of on, off, you know, not fully committed. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the stage in my life now where I'm fully committed.
Okay.
So I know the ways of the world. So, and I also know that no one's perfect. So I'm just kind of trying to figure out, walking this Christian path, when you meet a man, how much do you give, especially if they're not totally on the path? Like, do you just throw your hands up and say, no, I'm not dealing with that? Or, you know, it's a very fine line. And like I said, I know the signs and I know, you know, the worldly ways, but I'm just trying to figure out what's like that line in the sand. And I know there's probably several, but, you know, trying to stay the path and keep myself from falling off the path.
Well, Tracy, I think that's a great question. And let me just kind of summarize it a little bit. If someone's just tuning in, I want to make sure that they're clear about it, especially because it might apply to them. So you feel at this stage in your life, you're very connected to your spiritual walk with God. And so you don't want to mess that up, but you do want to meet someone, but you want to make sure that although you know they're not perfect, that how do you know if this is going to be someone that's actually going to be beneficial to your relationship with God or not? And you don't want anything to interfere with that. And I think it's a question, right? It's a great question. A lot of singles have that because there is such a thing of being so picky, like you want the perfect man, and that perfect man is Jesus, and you already have him. So, you know, anybody else is going to fall short. However, how short is okay? And I think it starts off with, you know, the scriptures, right? 2 Corinthians 6 clearly says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So making sure that that person is truly a Christian and that you equally yoked, meaning that where you are in your spiritual walk, that person has to at least be close to that or have a desire to be there. It can't be someone who, you know, you're really involved and you're passionate about your relationship with God and he's not. Like that will be unevenly yoked, especially if he's not a Christian. But even if he attends church, but he's not really, you know, he's lukewarm, he's not where he needs to be, that's not going to be beneficial. But I want to take it a step further, Tracy, and understand that there should be some things that should be non-negotiables. What I mean by that is, you know, how he looks, is that could be negotiable, right? Does he have to be taller than you? Does he have to be, you know, a certain look? And, you know, all that could be negotiated, right? You could say, well, maybe I wish he had a little bit more hair or I wish he was a little more fit. But guess what? He has a big heart. He loves God. He can work on that. That's fine. But there are some things that just can't, right? So what would some non-negotiables be for you?
Well, one thing for sure, I don't want to, you know, be intimate outside of marriage.
Okay, so he has to absolutely understand and have a high standard for purity.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. So what if you meet this guy? He seems great, good looking, goes to church, sings on the choir, whatever. And after dating him for a few months, he's like, hey, you know, Let's venture a little deeper. I know we're not married yet, but hey, I plan to marry you. Let's you know, come to my house and no one's gonna be home. Come to my bedroom.
That actually happened and me and Jim are no longer together.
Okay, good. So that's an absolute non-negotiable for you, and I commend you for that. That's great. Because I'll be honest with you, if they can't respect you and respect God, then what kind of marriage would you have? Mm. I mean, you can't trust this individual. He's claiming to be a Christian. Now, I'm not talking about the reality that there will be temptation. There might be a guy who says, listen, you know, I'm so tempted. Let's get some help. Let's get some guidance. I mean, when my wife and I, the closer we got to the wedding date, the less we had to see each other because we're like, we don't want to be tempted. And we never spent time alone. Mm-hmm. So if her roommate wasn't home or if we didn't have others with us, I wasn't going to go into our apartment by ourselves because I know that the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
But you know, we had that standard. And so together we were able to have that victory. But if I wanted to, and, you know, there was no way. You know, we both love God. So that's definitely a non-negotiable. I think another one that you might want to add to your list is that certain dreams and aspirations need to be compatible. And what I mean by that is, you know, I don't know your spiritual ambitions and what you want to do for the Lord, but there should be some things that the person should want to help you to be better with your walk with God. The Bible says two are better than one because if one falls down, there's another one to pick them up. And so someone that's going to make you better. But I think you're on the right path, Tracy. I don't think that's a too high of a standard to expect the man to have that conviction about purity.
Right. And the gentleman that I was speaking of, it was, you know, he didn't sing on a car or anything like that, but I met him. He was saying that, you know, it was a blessing to meet me because he was trying to be on that path and, mm-hmm. you know, serve the Lord and all the great,
sure.
great things, you know. And it was like, okay, and I was excited. But at the same time, I still watched and prayed on it. And my mm-hmm. prayer is always, God, if this person isn't for me, just totally move them out of my life.
Wow.
And is it okay to pray that prayer? Because I don't want to be so picky. But, I mean, obviously that was a
no.
deal breaker right there because he was several times he tried. And it was like, okay, this, no you're not. You're
it
not
is
really,
absolutely
you know?
Okay. I think your prayer now needs to be like, God, just send me the right person or send me to the right person. But I think that prayer is excellent. I mean, he was not the man for you, absolutely.
And I just have one more quick question. On the gentleman that previously called mm-hmm. about his marriage and, you know...
The divorce?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if a man has been married and, you know, outside of his wife committing adultery or anything like that, they get divorced and the woman, he meets another woman and she marries him, is she in the act of adultery?
That's good. That's a great question. You know, you have a question about remarriage and adultery. I'll tell you what, Tracy, we do need to take a brief break. If you could just hold on, I definitely would love to get into that conversation. And anyone else, if you're holding on cue, if you're online and you're just waiting, please be patient. We'll be with you. You've taken the effort to call us and you've made it through and you're waiting. Anyone else, we invite you to give us a call as well, 855-454-5905. We'll be right back and we'll talk about remarriage and adultery when we get back.